Both of them do anyway.
Thank you, Brother Gary. It's a blessing to be back tonight in the service. We're grateful the Lord's given us this time together. And it seemed like it was just a few hours ago that we stood here Sunday morning and began the service on Sunday morning. But what a blessing it is to be back tonight. And the days have slipped by quickly and fast. And I've enjoyed being here. Thank you, Brother Gary, for your kind invitation. Thank you, church, for wanting us to come and making us welcome. Thank you for your prayers and your encouragement. I appreciate the privilege to be here. Hope the Lord said something through us. Be a help and a blessing to you. Has been already. We'll be down the road. The Lord does give us messages sometimes for what we need then, for what has happened in the past, and sometimes for what's ahead. So that's why we're to give the more earnest heed to things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so I appreciate the privilege to be here, and thank you for, again, your kindness, your encouragement, and words of encouragement and prayers for us. And thank you for your generous love gift for us to help us along the way, and anything you've done in a way to try to encourage us, we appreciate it so much, and I appreciate this time being here. Matthew chapter 16 tonight, if you have a Bible and want to read with us, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16, the first four verses. And I also want to read tonight from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 54 through verse 56. Those two passages tonight, I'm interested in them, and then try to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. And I do need your prayers again. The Lord would help us and breathe on us and use us for His honor and for His glory. Matthew chapter 16, we'll read the first four verses. Then we'll look at Luke chapter 12 and read verses 54, 55, and 56. They go together. I want to read both of them tonight, then try to preach if the Lord would help us and as you would pray for us. Well, when you find your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, want to tonight, I invite you to stand with us. Of course, we're standing to honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. And after we read these verses that we've told you about, then we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And again, I appreciate so greatly you praying for us and with us tonight. Matthew 16, verse 1, the Bible reads like this. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now we'll look at Luke chapter 12, verse number 54. The Bible reads like this. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Father, I thank you for the privilege to pray tonight. I thank you for the Word of God that you blessed me to read from and the portion you've directed my heart to. I need your help tonight. I ask humbly for your help. Oh Lord, without your help, our efforts are in vain tonight. But I pray you to have mercy upon me. And more importantly, I pray you to have mercy upon these people that await my words. And for a few moments, Lord, hide me in the cross. And let me lose sight of myself. And give me heavenly wisdom and spiritual understanding. Give me unction and utterance to preach the Word of God tonight. Oh, dear Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will and the knowledge of your way and the knowledge of your word. And breathe on us afresh and anew. and enable us and empower us and permit us to preach. And preach through us tonight the message that you won't proclaim. And prepare the hearts of this people to receive it tonight. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. May the Word of God sink down deep in our hearts tonight. May sinners be awakened and convicted and converted tonight. May the saints of God, Lord, your Lord, I be brought to that place that they would surrender to you tonight. Oh, dear Lord, don't leave us unchanged. Don't leave us like we've come. But, Lord, affect us greatly tonight and mightily. And do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let us see your glory tonight. I pray you'd strengthen our body and voice for this hour. And strengthen us in the inward man. And, Lord, what you're pleased to do in and through and for us, we'll praise you and thank you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Jesus, in both of these passages of Scripture tonight, we're talking to a group of people that were weather watchers, that was able to predict the forecast. And yet he said to them, you can discern the face of the sky. He said, you can discern, my friend, the face of the earth. But he said, you cannot discern this time or the signs of the time. And so they had one forecast down pat. That is, whether the sky was red at night or red in the morning, they knew what kind of day or night they would have. And that whether or not a cloud would rise out of the west, or whether the south wind would blow, they knew what would be the results. But here they were talking to the Son of God. Here they were facing a visitation from my friend, the day spring on high, and were not aware of it. Amen. My, how sad. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me, on what is in the forecast tonight. They knew what was in the weather forecast, but they did not know the spiritual forecast. They did not know what the Bible said, or they refused to listen or to heed what the Word of God said. Now, all of us are interested in forecast. I'm sure all of us, at one time or another, and maybe on a daily basis, sometimes a couple of times a day, will, my friend, catch the weather forecast. We're interested in what the weather's going to do. Some may be interested in the financial forecast. They might be interested in, my friend, Wall Street, or the Dow Jones average, or I might be interested in what's going on, my friend, financially, in America or in the world. And they do give a financial forecast. And then we often, my friend, might have a medical forecast. We might go in for, my friend, a routine examination, and it tells us what maybe lies ahead for us, my friend, in our body, in the physical sense tonight. And so there are the political forecasts. May I say to you tonight, on all of those fronts tonight, it may be good to get the forecast, but how many times have they been wrong? How many times has the weatherman missed the weather forecast? How many times have they missed the financial, my friend, and even just now, have many missed the political forecast? They're predicting one thing and something else happened. Amen. And how many times, my friend, have the medical forecast been wrong?
Years ago, I preached for a preacher, he had been to the doctor, and the doctor said, do anything you want, eat anything you want, you've got a clean bill of health. My friend, during a week of revival, and on Friday night, he had a massive heart attack about 30 minutes before the service began and went out to meet God. I tell you, friend, these forecasts, my friend, sometimes are right and sometimes are wrong. But God has a forecast tonight that's 100% accurate. The Bible tells us what is ahead. And friend, it's not a 70% change or a 50-50 change. But it's going to be right. Thank God, the Bible is right tonight. The Word of God is sure. Amen. And there's some things tonight in our spiritual forecast. There's some things that are ahead tonight that you can be sure about. Amen. Well, I'll just mention one or two tonight and try to leave it with you tonight. What is in the forecast tonight? I want to say, first of all, the return of the Lord is in the forecast. Amen. And just as sure as the Lord Jesus came the first time, He is coming again. Amen. I'm grateful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. In John 14, He said, I go away, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, as the disciples were gathered there at Bethany, and the Bible said Jesus was talking to them, and all of a sudden He began to rise out of their sight, and the clouds wrapped around Him, and they watched Jesus as He slowly went into heaven. Amen. And as He did, the Bible said, two men in white apparel said to them, you men of Galilee, why stand here gazing in the heavens? The same Jesus that you have seen go away, I shall also come again in like manner. Amen. Hebrews tells us that yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. The Bible tells us also in the book of Hebrews, my friends and I, them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. I believe it, don't you? Thessalonians tells us the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of God. Amen. With the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, the Lord is going to return. Amen. I'm glad that the next greatest event, thank God, on the calendar is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know what Peter said, in the last day, scoffers shall come walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? They say, since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were even from the beginning of creation. Peter said they are willingly ignorant of this. Amen. He said, for that old world, Noah's world, thank God, that stood in the water and out of the water, thank God, and was there because the word was spoken. Amen. But he said that world was destroyed. But he said the world that we now live in is kept in store by the same word of God. Amen. And it's kept in store until a day of perdition and fire that'll fall upon it. Amen. But he said, now the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. He's coming. Hey God, the reason He's not already here, He's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Can I say the return of the Lord is in the forecast. It's not a might. It's not a 50% change. But oh, in due time, in the fullness of time, and I don't know when it is, and I can't set a date, and wouldn't dare to try tonight. For Jesus said, no man knows that day or that hour. Amen. Not even the angels. But he said it's left up to the Father. But I know there'll be a day when the Father will say to the Son, it's time. Go get the church. Go get your bride. Amen. Just as when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. He's going to send that Son again, and he's coming. Hallelujah. Woo! It's in the forecast. Amen. The return of the Lord. Amen. I want to say tonight, hey God, along with that return, there'll be a lot of things tonight. Amen. Oh God, help us. Now I'm not going to divide it up tonight, maybe like it should be, or like it is tonight, but I just want to mention the return of the Lord and some things that'll come. That's in that same forecast when the Lord comes. I want to say first of all tonight, there's wrath in the forecast. Amen? There's wrath. I want to read you these verses tonight. Romans chapter 1. The Bible tells us, amen, in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Oh, hear me, friend. There's coming in the forecast with the return of the Lord the wrath of God. Amen. That's exactly right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, hey God, the return of the Lord is in the forecast, and with that there'll be some wrath unleashed on this world and all of those that have failed to believe and accept the gospel. Are you hearing me tonight? It's in the forecast. Amen. Oh, I want to look tonight in the book of Jude, verses 14 and 15. The Bible said, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I'm trying to preach to you tonight. Hey God, the wrath of God is in the forecast. The return of the Lord is in the forecast. And with that return, there's going to be some wrath that's going to be poured out upon this earth. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? God help us. And again, I may not be dividing it up exactly right tonight, but you get what I'm just preaching generally tonight, so please don't hold that against me. But I'm trying to tell you, in that coming of the Lord, there will be the wrath of God. Amen. He's going to convince all the ungodly. Amen. Are you listening to me? He's got to punish with everlasting destruction those that obey not the gospel and those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. I want to say, not only is the return of the Lord and not only is there wrath in the forecast, but can I say there's righteousness, amen, in the forecast. He's not only going to bring wrath with his return, he's going to bring righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I say, first of all, He's going to bring righteous judgment. Amen. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, as he was gathered up at Athens, Greece, at Mars Hill, and he saw all the unknown gods and the idol gods that they were worshiping, and he said he even saw an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. He said, that God you ignorantly worship, I want to proclaim Him to you. Amen. Now he said, there was a day when God winked at this ignorance, the ignorance of men worshiping gods made out of gold and silver and brass and wood and stone. But he said, now, oh, he commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why does he command men to repent? Verse 31, for he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath before ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not worried about Buddha tonight. I'm not worried about Mohammed tonight. Amen. I'm not worried tonight, my friend, about Mr. Moon. I'm not worried about Joseph Smith tonight. But I can tell you, there is a man tonight that God ordained, my friend, to judge this world in righteousness. And He assured every one of us that that will take place. It's in the forecast. It's 100% chance. That thank God, that Lord Jesus, that was born of the Virgin Mary and died on that rugged Roman cross. Thank God, that Jesus that God raised from the dead, and that's the assurance, that's the promise, that He will judge the world, is that God raised Him from the dead, just as sure as He got out of the tomb, out of the cemetery, out of the grave. That's how sure He'll sit on the judgment throne and judge this world in righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, what's in the forecast? There's a righteous judgment. Amen. There's a lot of unrighteous judgment in this world. Amen. Oh my. And when you and I think today of the politicians, and when we think of the folks, am I saying, making policy, and when we think of the folks, am I saying, in the judicial system today, and how they took bribes, and amen, and been influenced, and how many of them are judging today, not according to the Word of God, which the United States was founded on, and then a lot of men even judging according to the Constitution that we're founded on. But hear me, friend, there's coming a day when Christ will judge with righteous judgment. Amen. That's exactly right. And all the wrongs will be made right. I do believe that. Everything that's been done wrong, He'll set it right. And that that's been done in the secret. Amen. Oh, and in the closet, He'll proclaim it on the housetop. And nothing will be hid, but it'll be a righteous judgment. And He'll stand, or He'll sit as a righteous judge of this universe. Hallelujah. Amen. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And whatever He says in righteous judgment, that'll fix it forever. That'll be the end of it. There'll be no plea bargaining. There'll be no appeals. Amen. And there'll be no argument. The Bible said men will say amen to their own condemnation. Can't argue with the truth. Amen. Oh, what's in the forecast? The return of the Lord, and with that return there's wrath. there's righteousness, righteous judgment. May I say righteous rule. According to Revelation 19:15, thank God, He'll smite the nation and rule them with a rod of iron. They've rejected His righteousness. Thank God, but He'll come with power and authority and put all, thank God, rebellion and rejection of Himself down, and He'll rule in righteousness. I believe that tonight, don't you? Can I say, thank God, not only is there a righteous judgment and a righteous rule, but there'll be a righteous, thank God, revelation. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 says, after this earth, thank God, is destroyed and the elements melt with fervent heat. Amen. Thank God. Verse 13 said, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heavens and a new earth. And guess what's going to dwell in that new earth? Wherein dwelleth righteousness. You and I have never lived in a world without sin. Thank God, but thank God there's going to be a place where it is full of righteousness and the glory of God. I believe that, don't y'all? Amen. And I long for that place where it'll just be righteousness. Thank God. And no sin will ever be there. Amen. But righteousness will dwell. Can you imagine that? I can't hardly imagine it. Amen. But I long for it. Thank God. And I look forward to it and know that it's so. Amen. It's in the forecast. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, is that for everybody? Because, you know, some different folks tonight, the Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, they teach those things. My friend, but can I say to you, friend, the only way to escape the wrath that's coming and to be a part of that righteous place is to be born again, saved by grace. Know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way. Amen. Aren't you afraid of the wrath that's going to come, preacher? No. Because, thank God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm already delivered from the penalty of the law. I'm already delivered. Thank God. From the penalty and the judgment of the wrath of the law. I was dead in trespasses and sin. And the law said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But I've got beyond that. Amen. I didn't do it myself. I didn't have the ability. Thank God. But by His mercy, thank God, He saved me by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He quickened me together with Christ and made me alive in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And the law can't point its finger at me. Hey God. And say you're dead. You have to die because Christ died under the law for me. Resurrected above the law and lifted me above that law in that resurrection. And when I came to Him in repentance, I towards God in faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey God, I got raised with Him. I'm seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Hey. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Woo. As a matter of fact, I shall not come into condemnation. I shall not perish. Amen. But I pass from death unto life. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. And I use this for an example, and some of you here are so young, you probably remember it's been so many years ago. Amen. But when a great trial in our history of America the last few years was the trial of O.J. Simpson. Went on for months, televised. Amen. Went on for months. Amen. And the jury found him not guilty. Now, if you could go tonight and go to the prosecutor in the state of California, amen, city of Los Angeles, the county there, and say, I've got definite proof, I've got a video, I've got eyewitnesses, hey God, he was guilty, this proves that he did it, that prosecutor look at you and say, it's too late, hey God, he's done been tried, and we can't try him again for the same crime. That's double jeopardy, amen. Hallelujah. And you bring up my past all you want to. And you talk about, hey God, how short I come tonight. But it won't do you no good before the throne of glory tonight. Well, my case has done been tried. And Jesus stepped forward and took my place and shed his blood. Hey God, and I've been forgiven. Hallelujah. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ has justified me, died and rose again. Amen. And you can't charge me tonight. I'm free. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm justified. I'm glorified. Hallelujah. Woo! It's done tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not only now no condemnation, but I'm not going to come into condemnation. I'm not only free from wrath, I'll never come into wrath. I've not been appointed to obtain wrath. I will not, amen, but to obtain salvation. Amen. Let me just spend a minute or two there, and I'll go on. The example of that is in the Old Testament, under by a man named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. He was crippled by the fall of his nurse when she ran because of the news that Saul, his grandfather and his father, had been slain. He's lame on his feet. And David could have killed him since he was of the house of Saul, but he wanted to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And God would be just in sending all of us to hell, but he's showing us kindness for Christ's sake. The covenant's sake, the oath's sake. And David fetched him, sent the chariot after him, sent the servant after him. He couldn't come himself. He's lame on his feet. I couldn't get to God, but God came to me. Brought him back. Hey God, laid him there before the king in the palace. But Mephibosheth thought David's going to cut his head off. Hallelujah. But David said, fear not. I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. Amen. He said, why would you look on a dead dog as I am? Why would you show me any grace? Hey, but he said, I'm going to restore everything that was your grandfather's. Thank God. And he said, not only that, but I'm going to set you at my table and you'll eat at my table continually. Amen. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Oh, and if you'd seen Mephibosheth sitting at David's table, you'd never know that he was lame. Thank God that tablecloth of grace covered his lameness and his crippleness. Hallelujah. And he had a rightful place because of the covenant's sake at the king's table. But years later, thank God, God sent a famine in the land. And it was because Saul and his zealous had slew the Gibeonites and they were not supposed to be harmed. Joshua had made a covenant with him. And Saul had broke that covenant. And so God put famine on the Israelites. And the only way that famine could be broke is if the Gibeonites said, give us 7 sons of Saul. And we'll slay them and hang their carcasses up on the wall. Well, Mephibosheth was one of them sons. Hallelujah. Oh, And David could have said, take him, but he didn't. He looked at him and he said, you can't have Mephibosheth. I'm a sparing him for the oath's sake and the covenant's sake. He was not only spared the wrath of the king while he sat at the table, he has spared that future wrath. Well, bless his name. Hey, thank God. I'm not justified today and going to be condemned tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm not free in Christ tonight. And then when judgment and wrath falls on this world, hey, thank God, no. No, I'm not going to go under wrath. I've been applauded to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this world's on fire, I'll be somewhere else. I'll be yonder in the presence of God, rejoicing around the throne. Because of the oath's sake. The covenant's sake. Oh, what's in the forecast? Wrath. The return Lord brings wrath and righteousness. Can I say it also brings a reward? Amen? Hallelujah. Revelation 22:12. The Lord Jesus said to John the Revelator, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Amen. There's going to be a reward when he returns. I have no doubt about that, don't you? Oh, I bless his name for that tonight. The world may never recognize us and won't. Religion may never recognize us. And other folks, but if you'll do what God said, he'll have a reward when he comes. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he talks about, amen, the under-shepherds. Amen. And he said, and when the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not doing what we're doing for Christ and for God, and it's going to go unrecognized or unrewarded. Now, it may down here, but it won't when he returns. He said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his word shall be. And that's the only way he does rewards. Ain't God is according to works. Rewards has nothing to do with salvation. Ain't God, it has everything how to do with works. Whether they're good or bad, ain't God, we'll receive what we've done in this body. Amen. Has no relevance of heaven and hell. Hey God, but it's reward given to us from the Lord. Amen. Well, that's just the way it is, ain't it? Hallelujah. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He not only said it in verse 12, he said it in verse 7, he said it in the latter part. As a matter of fact, that's the last thing he said to John. Behold, I come quickly. Somebody said, well, that makes the Bible void right there. He said, I come quickly, and it's been 2,000 years, and he ain't showed up. Well, time don't make no difference to the Lord. He's not constrained by time, but the behold, I come quickly was what he was saying to John. Was John, when all of this starts unfolding, John, hallelujah, thank God. And you see, John had never seen Christ in this fashion. Hallelujah. John, thank God, the beloved, John the disciple, John the revelator, he had seen Christ, thank God, in his manifested state of the flesh. Amen. The Word made flesh. Thank God, we handled him. We looked upon him. Amen. Oh, he saw him in that short form. Hey, he saw him in the crucified form. A dying, giving up the ghost. Then he saw him in the resurrection form. But he never had seen him, thank God, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And he, as well as all of those other New Testament Christians, were discouraged about what was going on. But he said, let me show you something, John. Woo! I'm the one that came in the flesh and conquered sin, death, and hell in the grave. Hallelujah. I'm the one, my friend, that rose again. I'm the one that's at the right hand making intercession when he comes again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. And I shall be holy, and the princes will come up on their thrones and say, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. He's the glorified Christ. Hey, thank God, y'all hearing me tonight? And he's coming quicker. In other words, when the events that bring his appearing start happening, thank God, it'll be just like this. Like a woman in travail with child. She waits 9 months, and then it begins to happen. And when this all starts unfolding, in just a short time, it's going to be done. Hallelujah. And when the dust is settled and the smoke is cleared off the battlefield, thank God, he'll stand. Hallelujah. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That's in the forecast. Amen. Now this is right similar to it, but I just need to mention it briefly tonight. Not only is his return in the forecast, and with that return, wrath, righteousness, and reward, but may I briefly say the resurrection is in the forecast. Hallelujah. The cemetery ain't the end. Amen. That may be the end for the unbeliever, but it's the beginning for the believer. Hallelujah. It's the midnight hour for the believer. Amen. The end of one day and the beginning of another. Amen. Hallelujah. 39 years ago when I first started preaching, and the old saints would die, and the old preachers would die, I'd walk by Brother Gary and I'd say, how sad. They've had to leave us and they want to enjoy what we're enjoying. And then it dawned on me one day, they're better off than I was. And so I quit feeling sorry for them and got to feeling sorry for myself when I see it. Hey. Well, bless his name. Why? We don't have to weep for them that's died in the Lord. Thank God it's those that have no hope. While they're better off, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, hence as the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, right now I'm in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is for me far better. I tell you tonight, our beloved saints that's done gone on, they're far better than what we are tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing me? Their spirits resting with God. Amen. And they're not in the fashion that they will be after the resurrection. They can't be. Amen. Hallelujah. And now they're not, their soul is not sleeping. Their body's in the grave and it's, thank God, going back to the dust from whence it came. But their spirit has returned to God which gave it, and paradise. It's now in the very presence of God and not in the heart of the earth. And they're there with the Lord, but they're not worrying tonight. And they're not wringing their hands. Amen. And they're not upset, thank God, about the election. And they're not upset about Wall Street. Are y'all hearing me tonight? They are resting, hallelujah. Thank God they're in a place that they are being comforted and caressed and took care of in the presence of the Lord. I believe that. Hallelujah. And they're not spirits floating around up there waiting to get their angel's wing, because they ain't never going to get no angel's wing.
thank God. Because a saint can't never become an angel. And why would I want to become an angel anyhow? I know they are terrestrial beings. I know. Thank God that in that order of creation it looks like they're above mankind. For Christ was made lower than the angels. But thank God when I stand in the city and sing saved by the blood of the Lamb, the angels will have to stand back and wonder at what I was singing about. And they're still looking on tonight, desiring to look into these things that have taken place. Well, hallelujah tonight. Hey, bless His name. Oh, bless His name. I might say this, and if not, be out of order tonight. In salvation, we came from being lower than the angels to being above the angels in the new. The new world order. Hey, wherein dwells righteousness. Are y'all hearing me? Why? Because as the saints of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. And all He has is ours tonight. That's the universe. Hallelujah. Well, bless His name. But there will be a resurrection. It's in the forecast. Woo! Hallelujah. It's in the forecast. There'll be a resurrection. John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Anybody still with the preacher tonight? Yes. Amen. Oh, there's going to be a resurrection. Paul spent an entire chapter out of 1 Corinthians 15. Ain't God setting forth the resurrection? And he summed it up like this. And he said, hallelujah. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know this text tonight, but let me read it. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that is that we have buried in the hope of the resurrection, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and in the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We ain't going to keep them from getting up. They're coming out of there. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them how to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know which way I'll go. I got it. Hey, by the taking away, by the translation, or by the cemetery, but it will make no difference. We'll all get there the same time. And then there's going to be a resurrection. It's in the forecast. Hallelujah. I don't know about graves bursting open, stones being rolled away, and all that business. As far as I can tell, when Jesus resurrected, He didn't take time to roll stone away, He just got up. And them angels didn't roll that stone away where Jesus could get up or get out. They rolled it away where them women could get in and see where He was. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Somebody said, like me standing in my mama's grave, or daddy's grave, or some loved one's grave. Why, it'll happen so fast. Thank God. You are standing by the grave. Oh, you can twinkle your eye. Yet God, you'd be with Him in glory.
Amen.
That's right. You ain't gonna have time to say, what was that? You ain't gonna have time to look around and say, that was the trumpet. When it sounds, whip, we're out of here! We're gone! Hallelujah! In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I think I've done some foolish worrying in time past about me being miles and hundreds of miles away from home and the Lord coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? My wife's living tonight, hon. It won't matter if we're sitting in the car together or laying in the bed together in the same house or walking down the road together holding hands or if I'm hundreds of miles away from you preaching somewhere. Hey, God, when that happens, it'll be so fast it won't make no difference. And the next thing we'll realize is we've got a glorified body. Hallelujah, thank God. And we will wait in His likeness, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him. Oh, we shall see Him as He is. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior. We're going to be resurrected. That's in the forecast. Got no doubts about that, y'all. It's coming. Hallelujah. I want to turn the corner a little bit tonight. Just briefly, if I can, preaching on what's in the forecast, the return of the Lord, and in that return there's wrath and righteousness and reward. And also in the forecast there's the resurrection. But may I preach tonight, there's also rain. There is rain in the forecast. And by rain tonight, I'm not talking about literal, natural, physical rain. I'm talking about spiritual rain tonight. But preacher, this is the last days. Oh, but there's rain in the forecast. Ezekiel 34:26, there shall be showers of blessing. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Acts 3:19, repent therefore that your sins may be blotted out. Thank God when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? And there's been some men in the Bible that gave a forecast of literal rain. And it was unbelievable. The first man was Noah. He said, it's going to rain. Well, what does that fellow know? And he preached it for 120 years. Hallelujah. And then he built that ark, that boat. Amen. And got in it, and God shut the door, and he stayed in there 7 days, and it hadn't rained yet. No doubt that crowd walked around and said, you see that fool? He's so sitting there, and him and his family and them animals are going to die in there. Oh, but after 7 days, oh my, I'm telling you, the storm clouds of God's judgment come up on the horizon, Thank God, and it started thundering and lightning. Thank God, and God opened up heaven and it began to rain. And then the fountains of the deep were broken up. And them folks decided that Noah, thank God, knew more than they thought he did. He was God's weather forecaster. And he predicted it right. A rain was coming. A flood was coming. It was the judgment of God on a sinful generation. And God will never destroy the earth with water again. But the next time, he will destroy it with fire and brimstone. Are you prepared? Are you in the ark of safety? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight? It's coming. Amen. In Acts 27 and 10, Paul predicted, amen, that they better not sail. Amen. Leave the port. Leave the harbor they were in. Oh, and try to sail around the little island and find a better place to spend the winter. He said, I perceive this voyage will be, thank God, oh, of much hurt and much damage, not only to the ship and what is in the ship, but our lives also. And oh, the Bible said of the centurion, the Roman centurion, thank God, the Roman soldier that was in charge of the prisoners of Rome that had hired this ship, I didn't believe Paul. He believed the owner and the master of the ship. What did a short, dim-eyed, humpback Jew know anyhow about sailing? Amen. Thank God, he knew the maker of the rain and the wind. He knew God, and he said, you better not sail. Amen. And then there's a man in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah the Tishbite. Not much to look at. Hallelujah. Amen. Camel's hair. Hey, God, unkempt, no doubt, walked into the palace of Ahab and said, it ain't going to rain till I say so. And for the next 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Lord said to Elijah, show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain on the earth. Amen. And he predicted rain, thank God, in the midst of a famine and in the midst of a drought. Hallelujah. There was rain. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe as long as the people of God are in this world, God has promised times of refreshing, showers of blessing, and God has promised a rain. Now, Elijah was promised a rain, but it was conditional. He said, show yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. And so in order to get the rain, he had to be obedient to the word of God. Somebody said, well, ain't we having rain? We won't be obedient to what God has told us to do. There's rain in the forecast, but somebody's going to have to obey the word of God to get the rain. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. And so he did show himself to Ahab. He did, thank God, meet the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He did pray the fire down. Amen. And he did send Ahab to get him a bite to eat. For he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The promise was, I'll send rain. But you got to show yourself to Ahab. He did that. And yet, he had to pray for the promise. Amen. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He prayed that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth. Space of 3 years, 6 months. He prayed again and the earth, thank God, out of heaven sent it rain to earth. Thank God, became fruitful again. I tell you, there are some promises tonight that God has left us. And one of those is showers of blessing. And those is rain and times of refreshing. But it only come when His people are obedient to the word of God and find himself in prayer. Elijah wasn't praying to convince God how to send the rain. He was praying how to get in condition for God to send the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God knew Elijah was going to have a running spell when the rain come. So he had to pray seven times to get conditioned for the rain. Oh, he's not convincing God to send the rain. God's already promised the rain. He's just conditioning his own heart and his own life. Hey, are you hearing me? He's just humbling himself. Can I say there's a promise of rain for us? Oh, Lord. I believe rain's in the forecast. What do y'all think? Amen. Now don't look at me funny tonight. I'm not talking about worldwide revival, but I'm talking about times of refreshing showers of blessing and rain upon our parched lives and our parched souls. I believe God will let us have it, and God wants to give it, and God has promised it. If we'll obey His word, and we'll seek His faith and pray again. Amen. God help us. And so Elijah's praying. Elijah's praying. Amen. And he prays on the edge, on the brow of the mountain, and sends the servant after he prays the first time to see if he sees any sign that there's going to be rain. Servant comes back and says, it's looked like for the last 3.5 years. And it looks like just like it did when you started praying. And he prayed again. He prayed the second time, sent him back, same thing. Prayed the third time, sent him back, same thing. Prayed the fourth time, sent him back, same thing. Fifth time, sent him back, same thing. Sixth time, sent him back, same thing. Now he's been promised if you'll show yourself to Ahab. And he's done that, so where's the rain? He's praying about the rain. Hallelujah. The rain's in the forecast. Hallelujah. So he gets down again. I believe he puts his face between his knees and he prays the seventh time. And when he prays that seventh time, he sends the servant back to look, and the servant looks and he comes back and he says it just like it was the other six times, except way down yonder on the horizon, there is a cloud about the size or the shape of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's good enough for me. Tell Ahab to get off of this mountain. It's fixing to rain. Hallelujah. And if he wants to get Jezreel before he gets stuck in the mud, he better get now. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me? Now imagine the faith of this man, the promise of this. I've done this here before, I guess. Let me do it again. Will y'all care if I do this again tonight? Brother Darrell, would you hold up your hand for me tonight? Just hold it right there. Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Travis. Hold up your hand, would you? Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Gary, would you hold up your hand? Brother Dwayne, how about holding up your hand? Brother Tony, how about you hold up your hand? Now look at these men's hands. Now they're various sizes. Amen. Pretty good size. All of them, I think, is bigger than my hand. Hallelujah. But the biggest hand, and these may not be the biggest hand, but the biggest hand in here, a cloud about that size, a cloud like a man's hand, fashion, looking like a man's hand. How in the world could that end 3.5 years of drought? Hallelujah. Oh, but Elijah said, thank God, it's going to rain. How do you know it, Elijah? How do you know it? He said, I recognize that hand. That's the hand that sent me unto the palace. Hallelujah. That's the hand that fed me down by the brook. That's the hand, thank God, that put meal in the barrel and oil in the cruise. That is the hand that raised the dead boy. That is the hand that sent the fire. That's the hand of my God. And He's fixing on a sin ray. Hallelujah. There's rain in the forecast. Hallelujah. In the midst of our drought, in the midst of our famine, in the midst of our spiritual deadness and dryness, there's a promise of rain. If we'll just obey that word, get back to what that book says for us to do, and do it. and then seek His face in prayer and condition our lives. Y'all do know it rained, don't you? Y'all do know that Ahab got in his chariot and started off of that mountain. Amen. And maybe there's a drive and fast as they'd go. But before he could get to Jezreel, it done muddied up. By the way, somebody come running along beside him and outran the chariot and the horses. And that fellow's name was Elijah. Hallelujah. That's pretty good running. Outrun them fine Arabian steeds, I'll tell you that. But he outran them. I've read different, amen, mileage accounts, 15 to 18 miles. Hallelujah. But he outran them for that long. Hallelujah. Because it's a rain. Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Hadn't been much running in Elijah's life. Been waiting at the brook. Waiting at the widow's house. Amen. Waiting on Carmel. But now he's running. Thank God he's been set free. The rain has brought, amen, freedom. And rain will always do that. Amen. It'll bring liberty to the believer, and it'll drive off the wheels of the wicked. Always will. Everybody stand tonight. What's in the forecast? The return, the resurrection, and the rain. Since you know the forecast now, since you've heard the forecast now, do you need to do something about the forecast?